Hello and welcome to RegTech Impact, Astrid. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Erkan. Nice to have you here in this room together. My name is Astrid Freier. I'm an investor from Early Fintech Ventures. We are a company focusing on early stage fintech investments only.
Oh, cool. If you're talking today about RegTech, the RegTech industry, can you tell me when was your first contact with RegTech industry?
You know, my first contact with the RegTech industry was in 2017 when I was heading Deutsche Bank's regulatory management group. And of course, if you take a look at many regulatory challenges, you'll clearly see that this is an area which can only be resolved by technology. And this was actually my first touch point.
That means 2007. Is that true?
17.
17. Oh, cool. And if you talk about RegTech, how would you define RegTech? I mean, do you have a simple definition for us?
Yeah, when I look at RegTech, I look at it from a rather holistic point of view and industry agnostic. We see, of course, that compliance relevant, AML, KYC relevant, risk management relative topic are predominant for regulatory technology with a strong focus of financial service industry. But these areas go also beyond and touch many other industries as well.
Absolutely. You also talked about investors as a RegTech investor. How would you describe the RegTech investor market?
The RegTech investor market is growing significantly. So when we had the first investments in around 2015, we talked about around $1.1 billion raised in this particular year. And this has been steadily moving up and independently from COVID and has reached $8 billion even in 2020. We saw in particular that the number of deals is also increasing, although the RegTech environment in itself caters only for a smaller number of deals if you take a look at other areas. So in RegTech, we've talk about 200 deals per year because of the fact it's quite a complex environment and it's quite capital intensive.
Can you tell me about the region? Is 200 in worldwide or Europe? Can you give some figures? Do you know some figures about that?
So the deals are global figures as well as the investments. And of course, we can split this down accordingly to other areas. So we see that the US still has a very predominant share in this overall numbers. But Europe and in particular also Asia are picking up significantly in the last 5 years.
That's very interesting. If you're talking about being a RegTech, what should RegTechs learn or consider working better with investors? I mean, do you have an idea?
I wonder whether this is something which is particular only for RegTechs or whether this is rather general.
It's a general topic.
So in general, I would say to present your case and show that there is a specific solution you have for an overall problem. This is in general something we can give as good advice to everyone seeking investment because every investor wants to see that there is a real problem in the back which can be resolved because otherwise we will not be able to see the success of these business models.
Mm-hmm. And if we are going to specify it to the RegTech,
for the RegTech side in particular, I always strongly look at how deeply involved companies, respectively their representatives, have been in the RegTech or compliance risk management environment. Because I see that the problems we have there can only be resolved if you have a very deep understanding of the processes behind. And this is something you cannot achieve from one day to the other. You rather have to already from past experience, past roles, past jobs in this environment. Make sure that you then translate this into a regulatory technology relevant environment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're talking about RegTech, the difficulty is you told us for investment is a huge amount. Can you give me some figures? I mean, in which areas we are going to invest in, or is this 100 million or less? Can you give me some figures about that, Astrid?
You mean me as an investor, or rather?
Yes.
We are focusing on early stage investments only. Mm-hmm. So early stage, seed stage even. So these are normally relatively small amounts, around 1 million, 2.5 million euro, right? Mm-hmm. But if you take a look at where the different investments are, and it's very worthwhile having a look at how this RegTech environment is set up. And we can clearly see that you have a decent number of early stage companies which require an early stage investment. But you clearly see out of this 8 billion US dollar I have mentioned, the by far biggest chunk goes in the area of investments of 50 million and above. And this is a clear sign why, in order to nourish the ground, you first of all have to come up with a good idea in order to work on this RegTech specific aspect and grow this further until it really is of relevance to the large, for example, financial institutions or other large companies. And then, of course, it will require a lot of more investment amounts. And that's why many of these RegTech companies, if they take a significant chunk of these overall funds I was just describing, it will surely happen at a later stage in time.
Interesting. Larger companies, if they have to make a decision about RegTech, build or buy or collaborate, what would your suggestion be for a large company?
That's a very good question. And the answer is not a simple yes or no for one option or the other. What I clearly see is that the companies have to really make up their mind on what is the focus they want to put on. And once you have decided on in which area, for what benefit you want to go for a particular RegTech solution, this automatically triggers also the decision into the direction of, for example, build or buy. And what we have clearly seen in the past is that, of course, companies being financially wealthy and looking at solutions where they can easily connect with their existing infrastructure, they may probably rather go for developing their own solutions because it may fit in better with all their already existing solutions they have on board. But of course, this is not always an option, especially not if you are not that financially strong, as I mentioned in the beginning, but also if you do not have certain capabilities on board. And this is in the RegTech field something which is very important because this is a very tech-driven area and a very modern tech-driven area. And this is then, of course, a good situation where RegTech companies might come in as a third party. This is an area where we see then a lot of rather building together, collaborating on certain projects, and well, probably also offering the chance to sometimes implement things quicker and with more speed, because you can then easily also source in the different capabilities in technology. But you may have the downturn that, of course, you have to think about how this relates with your overall setup. And this is sometimes even more difficult than the pure RegTech solution provided itself.
Absolutely. And what type of framework do we need to bring the RegTech solution implemented successfully? What kind of framework or what type of framework do you prefer?
I think we clearly see in other countries that sandboxing, for example, is a very powerful way of looking at early stage solutions in order to have a consensus already at a very early point in time with different players of the ecosystem. And this is here in the RegTech environment, not only a pure play between, let's say, a RegTech company and, for example, in financial institutions. Of course, we have the regulatory environment to be taken into consideration with the regulatory authorities. And in many cases, since the development, I primarily now talk about banks, in the financial service industry, is not only done by the banks, but also by a lot of software providers, you will also have a software company sitting on the table. So have at least parties of four having to sort out how a topic in certain segments like risk management, identity, compliance, etc., can be moved forward. Mm-hmm. And this is an environment where I personally believe the many public-private partnerships we see here, they can do a very good job if all the parties are bundled together right from the beginning in a meaningful framework.
Mm-hmm. The parties are the four. Can you repeat it again? The four parties?
The four parties I at least see are a financial service provider, a RegTech provider, a software provider, and also a financial authority or regulatory supervisory mm-hmm. authority.
Yeah, very interesting. If we go one step further, any recommendation to have or how established RegTechs can be actively engaged in European or Germany? Do you have any recommendation for that? I mean, we have still some established RegTechs in Germany.
Indeed.
And yes, and how they should be established or engaged in Europe and Germany to promote RegTech. Do you have any idea?
What we see here is, as you said, we have a very good base because we have a very solid, long-established banking environment. And this, of course, sets also free people which have been very active, for example, in the space of regulatory technology and environment. And this gives a good spin also to develop new solutions further, especially in Germany and also beyond in Europe. So what I think as a recommendation here is really to try to form a kind of collaborative environment here, because many of the regulatory technology problems, they are not to be solved in one country only. And I see this in the area, for example, of identity, that there is more of a European movement in order to resolve the topic of identity as an example. And I think this is where RegTech forming their own, you could say, lobby groups are strongly advised to have this type of dialogue across many different companies and also across many different countries, at least in Europe, to really move the needle and try to be strong in certain areas of RegTech. Of course, being a European citizen, we have to stress that in our world, data protection plays a very important role. And again, this is an area where with a more uniform view across many different jurisdictions, I think the RegTech case can be by far stronger.
Absolutely. Which ecosystem around the globe have the best adoption of RegTech solution? So either business can know and try to understand what it could be mean for their or similar business and get the right exposures of what is out there. Do we have an answer for that?
I think the Australians, they do pretty well. Mm-hmm. They have worked for already a couple of years setting up the ecosystem, and this pays off very nicely. So the Australian banks, for example, they are very absorptive if it comes to regulatory technology solutions. But again, this needs time, and sometimes countries, for example, like Australia, where you have many different influences and an influx of many different solutions, they can work very nicely on that. And I think we can learn from this in Europe as well. As I said, with regards to sandboxing, we see that, of course, the UK environment is in principle very favorable in order to test new solutions. But I think this is an area where other countries in Europe and also Germany, having a financial regulatory environment which is within Europe very well accepted, could take additional steps in order to be more flexible with regards to such kind of solutions and setting up the scene for them in order to grow further.
Absolutely. I think our podcast, Deborah Young from the Australian Red Tech Association was also a guest, and we talk about it in another episode. But we talk about investor market, we talk about RegTech, how they can be engaged, and how the people, I think your four parties. And what is the one topic I want to ask with you is, what is your view on the fast changing technology landscape into this world? I mean, do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah, I think the fast changing technology development is key in order to drive RegTech further. And many topics, as I mentioned in my little example from the beginning, we can only solve these problems with the help of technology. Think of the enormous amount of data we need in order to assess a counterparty or a client successfully. This can only be done with the help of technology, because individually we will not be able to access all these different meaningful data in order to come up with a decision, right? And that's why I truly believe that the RegTech play is a pure tech play, which will for sure go on. I think we have the big themes here in RegTech, for example. If we take a look at robotic process automation, for example, if we take a look at the large themes of prediction and predictive analysis, these are, of course, major topics which count for the overall industry and are of immense relevance for RegTech as well. But next to it, I would also like to draw the attention not only to the big topics normally associated with these big technology trends. I would also like to draw the attention to sometimes the more simple innovations instead of the cutting edge ones, because I think already in this regard, we can do tremendously better and provide significant change and efficiency scale. And we shouldn't leave this out when focusing on the big themes, that especially with many small innovations, you can already add great value.
Finally, the last question what I'm always asked is, what would you do if you are not working in the RegTech industry?
You know, I would really have fun, that this is not related to financial services or anything, work in a kitchen of a good restaurant in order to learn more on how the beautiful food can be not only produced, but also then served. But this is rather just a side note. Apart from that, I'm very deeply involved in the financial service industry, and I love that. So it would be difficult for me to get away from my job and hobby in one, but probably the restaurant is something which attracts me a lot.
Absolutely. Astrid, thank you. It was a pleasure to talking with you, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Erkan, and great for setting up this type of podcast in order to look deeper into the RegTech world.